Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, He has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who You say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who You say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who You say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who You say I am. I am who You say I am.
Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
You know, today and tomorrow, many of us are going to celebrate Memorial Day. For most people, it's just some, you know, just a maybe much needed time off or, you know, of our busy work schedule. You know, we like to get those days off from work. And for others, it's being able to attend or watch the greatest spectacle in motor sports racing is known as the Indianapolis 500. You know, it's a day that the true meaning of it's mostly overlooked and sometimes forgotten what Memorial Day is really all about. You know, Memorial Day is not just the unofficial start of summer. It's a time to remember those who gave their lives so that we can all joy and enjoy the freedoms that we have here in this country. They fought so hard so that we would be able to keep those freedoms. So while we remember and honor the fallen soldiers, I would like to say thank you to all who have served to make this land free. From the supportive spouses to their children, brothers, sisters, and mothers and fathers, they were all heroes. Because they were all willing to lay it all on the line for the cause, for the love of their country and fellow man. In John 15:13, it says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Some 1,200,000 men and women, or thereabout, have given their life fighting for the price of American freedom. In World War II, from 1941 to 1945, 405,399 lost their lives. In the American Civil War, from 1861 to 1865, 620,000 some gave their lives. In World War I, from 1917 to 1918, 116,516 men and women lost their lives. In the Vietnam War, from 1955 to 1975, some 58,209 lost their lives. And those numbers sometimes are more. In the Korean War, from 1950 to 1953, 36,516. In the American Revolutionary War, from 1775 to 1783, 25,000 gave their life. The War of 1812, 20,000 men. War in Afghanistan from 2001 to present time, the numbers are 7,315. We can even go back to the Mexican-American War from 1846 to 1849, where 2,446 men gave their life. Those brave and sometimes also scared individuals died fighting for something they believed in, something they thought was bigger than they were, and they paid the ultimate price for our freedom. There were countless millions of others who paid a great price also, and some were wounded physically and some were wounded mentally. All have paid and continue to pay a great price and deserve to be acknowledged and remembered. And just like for our freedom, a high price was paid, our spiritual freedom came at a great cost too. And many men and women willingly gave their also so that we could enjoy the goodness of God and all the benefits He freely gives us today. The common denominator is they all possess was their faith and love for God and country. You know, Memorial Day history, some of you may know this, but it originally was called Decoration Day, is a day of remembrance for those who had died in service of the United States of America. It's really difficult to prove the origins of this day, as over 24 towns and cities lay claim to the birthplace of it. And in May of 1966, President Lyndon Johnson stepped in and officially declared in Waterloo, New York, the birthplace of Memorial Day. Regardless of the location of oranges or the exact date, one thing is crystal clear. Memorial Day was born out of the Civil War, which ended in 1865, and a desire to honor our dead on the 5th of May in 1868. And a familiar name, General John Logan, was the national commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, officially proclaimed it in his General Order Number 11. And part of the history of Memorial Day will show that in the order that the general proclaimed, the 30th of May of 1868 is designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers and otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, hamlet, churchyard in the land. Because the day wasn't the anniversary of any particular battle, the general called it the date of Decoration Day. On the first Decoration Day, 5,000 participants decorated the graves of 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers buried at Arlington Cemetery, while General James Garfield made a historical speech. New York was the first state to officially recognize the holiday in 1873, and it was recognized by all northern states by 1890. And differently, the South refused to acknowledge it the day and honored their dead on separate days. And this went on until after World War I, when the holiday changed from honoring just those who died fighting in the Civil War to honoring Americans who died fighting in any war. With the congressional passage of the National Holiday Act of 1971, it is now observed on the last Monday in May by almost every state. And this helped to ensure a three-day weekend, right, for many of us. Memorial Day weekend. It's a federal holiday. In addition, there are still several southern states have an additional separate day for honoring the Confederate soldiers. January 19th in Texas, April 26th in Alabama, Florida and Georgia and Mississippi, May 10th in South Carolina, and June 3rd in Jefferson Davis's birthday in Louisiana and Tennessee. Interesting, right? You know, we kind of overlook this holiday, but it is a special holiday to remember those who died, giving their life so that we would be able to stand here today and preach and sing and gather together without restrictions. Well, some restrictions. This year's been a little different, hasn't it, than last year? You know, I think about all the family members that I've had in the past that were in the military and served and some sacrificed. I remember my time in the military. Didn't really think anything about death. I just wanted to serve. I think about that. I also think about this. Have you ever wondered how often do our brothers and sisters in the different parts of the world suffer from persecution and religious violence? How they are constantly placed in a tight spot just because they believe in Jesus Christ. Approximately 70 million have died since the beginning of the Christian church, and approximately more than 200 million Christians are facing high levels of persecution worldwide. To get a mental picture of what our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ experience today, just think about that. Just as we celebrate and honor the fallen soldiers of this great country, we also should celebrate and honor the fallen servants of God who have gave their life for Christ. People who sacrificed things for this church alone so that we would be able to sit here this morning in a beautiful church house and worship Jesus Christ. We should honor them. You know, here in America, it's easy to serve Christ because of the sacrifice made by our fallen heroes that we honor this weekend. But it's not like that in other countries around the world. It's not like that. That's why it's so special that we honor our fallen soldiers. Because it's not like that in other countries. The top 10 countries where it's hardest to follow Christ. Number one is North Korea, Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, Pakistan, Eritrea, Sudan, Yemen, Iran, and India. The top 10 hardest countries to serve the Lord. The top 10 countries where Christians face the most violence is Pakistan, number one. Nigeria, number two. Egypt, then Central Africa, a republic. Colombia, Cameroon, India, Malay, Sri Lanka. The top 10 countries where the most Christians are martyred. Yes, that still happens today. Last year alone, 1,350 people died for their faith in Nigeria alone. in Central Africa, the Republic, 924, and Sri Lanka, 200, and the Democratic Republic of Congo, 152, and South Sudan, 100, and Faso, 50, in Egypt, 23, in Pakistan, 20, and in Colombia, 16. The top 10 countries where the most churches are attacked and closed. China. 5,576 churches were closed. And I don't mean physical buildings sometimes. Because over there, they don't necessarily have physical buildings to worship in. They do it in homes. They do it wherever they can find a place to do it. In Angola, 2,000. Rwanda, 700. Myanmar, 204. Nigeria, 150. Ethiopia, 124. Malawi, 100. Pakistan, 58. Faso, 50. It's estimated 260 million in the top 50 countries alone. 260 million Christians in the world experience high levels of persecution for their choice to follow Christ. One out of nine Christians worldwide experience high levels of persecution. 6%. The rise in the number of Christians in the top 50 countries on the 2020 World Watch List who experienced high levels of persecution from 2019 to 2020. 2,983 Christians killed for faith-related reasons in the top 50 countries. 3,711 Christians detained without trial, arrested, sentenced to death, or imprisoned for life. 9,488 churches or Christian buildings attacked in the top 50 countries last year. Six out of seven in seven of the countries in the world watch list top 10, the primary cause of persecution is Islamic oppression. Eleven countries scoring the extreme level for their persecution of Christians. 6 years ago, North Korea was the only one. Nineteen consecutive years, North Korea has ranked number one as the world's most dangerous place for Christians. The main reason why Christians are targeted is because of their faith in Jesus Christ. So I thank the vets. I thank the ones who gave their life for us so that we would be able to gather together today without persecution. Many authoritarian governments view Christianity as a threat to power. Extremist groups want to destroy Christians out of hatred. Jesus said, they'll hate you because of me. I watched a video recently. There was a street preacher over in the UK preaching. He was standing on a cooler, of all things, preaching. And all he was doing is sharing the Word of God, but people were mocking him. They were saying inappropriate things to him. And he said, why do you hate me so much? Why? And as he was asking that question, he made the comment. He said, you know, Jesus said that I would be hated because I believe in him. And just seconds after that, some guy walked up behind and kicked the cooler out from underneath of him. It happens. I am so thankful for the ones who gave their life so that we would be able to sit here again and again, Sunday after Sunday, week after week, praising Jesus Christ, serving Jesus Christ. We have that freedom for now. In 2020, the watch list reported there were shocking details about the persecution experienced by Christian women. In many places, they experienced double the persecution. One being a Christian and one for being a woman. Even in the most restricted circumstances, gender-specific persecution is a key means of destroying the minority Christian community. Extreme violence. In most populated countries, Christians live in surveillance states. They're watched all the time. It is what some Christians in China go through every day. Constantly being watched. Many countries are the same. You know, this state of authoritism is increasing in many parts of the world, supported by the ever-spreading availability of personal digital technology, which governments can increasingly track through facial recognition, electronic chips, and so on. I'm not making this stuff up, guys. Why do I share that? Because we should be grateful for the men and women who gave their lives. I'll say that over and over again. We should be thankful for this country that we live in, and we should fight. We should stand up as Christians, brothers and sisters, and say, this is what we believe and why. Because one of these days we may be just like the rest of the world. In 1 Peter 3:14 it says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. I wondered you ever think about how the apostles died? Many have been martyred. The apostle Peter felt unworthy to die like Jesus, so they crucified him upside down. He was humble. The apostle Andrew, one of my favorites. Andrew took the gospel to what is now modern day Turkey, and later he was flayed and then crucified on an X-shaped cross in Greece. And to make it worse, he was tied to the cross, but even while he was dying, he preached the gospel, being faithful to Jesus Christ until his dying breath. In one of my books called Fox's Book of Martyrs, it writes in there that even as he was being taken to the cross, he was preaching Jesus Christ. And he made a comment that's recorded in history. He said, I've been waiting for this moment all my life to give my life for my Savior. Man. So many have done that for this country. The Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy records that Paul was apparently beheaded, but even so, he tenderly wrote, at my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. James, the half-brother of Jesus, James refused to deny his faith, and they pushed him over the edge of a cliff. He survived the fall, but when the Jews saw that he was still alive, they went down and clubbed him to death. The apostle Thaddeus, sometimes called Judas, different Judas, apparently he was martyred in AD 65 with an axe. He was beheaded. Matthew, he lived out his name, right? The sent one. Matthew landed in Ethiopia, and while in Ethiopia, he was arrested and impaled by stakes into the earth. And to make sure he was dead, they beheaded him. The apostle Bartholomew, he was an Armenian, or preached in Armenia, modern-day Turkey, in Asia Minor. He was flailed to death with a whip. Thomas, while in India, was pierced in his side with a sword and died of his wound. All this recorded in history. Philip, he was impaled by giant iron fish hooks and hung upside down. Brutally, right? It was under Roman control and Roman rule. They were oppressed, and they all died for their faith. James, now Alphaeus, James the Less was crucified in Lower Egypt, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The apostle James was put to death by a sword by King Herod. So Simon, who was called the Zealot, he was crucified. That's all we know. The apostle John, history writes that he was boiled in oil only to survive. So then they put him on the island of Patmos, where he lived and apparently died of natural causes in Ephesus. There on the island of Patmos, he wrote the book of Revelation. Nearly every one of the apostles were martyred, and I don't believe it is any coincidence that nearly all of the apostles died with the injuries similar to Jesus Christ's experience on the cross. In Isaiah 53, it says no one suffered like he did. The thing is, none of these men are gone. God is the God of the living and not the God of the dead. Amen? And they are more alive than ever today. And just like some of our loved ones who have passed from this world into the kingdom, they're still alive and well, and they're waiting on us to be there. John 8:36 says, So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Amen? We are free because of two things. We're free for the servants of this country who gave their lives so that we'd have the freedom to gather together here. And we're also free because of what Jesus Christ did. His death on the cross. Galatians 5:1 says, It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Amen. I say this morning to remind us of why we're able to be here today. And who set us free from that? So this weekend, remember those who gave their life for not this country, but also remember the ones who gave their life for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for giving your life for me. Each and every one sitting here this morning, Lord, you gave your life for them. It didn't matter what we did. You loved us enough to give your life. You sacrificed yourself for us. Let us not forget that. Lord, I thank you for those that have given their lives so that we could not have to endure the persecution that happens all over the world. Lord, I ask to bless their families. Lord, I thank you again for this opportunity to stand here in this beautiful church. Continue to bless each and every one here as we surrender ourselves to your service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.